You're listening to this week's sermon from Mooresville United Methodist Church entitled, Choices. We will now join Pastor Glass with a sermon.
The gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day.'" So the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated, please. So I do want to welcome all of you again as we are gathered together for worship today. I hope and pray that you will find this to be a time that draws us closer to one another, closer to God, and strengthens us in our walk with Christ in the coming week. We are truly honored that you are spending your time with us this morning. Today we're going to be talking about choices. And I think we live in a society that is almost overwhelmed with the number of choices that we have. If you even want to talk about what are you going to watch on television, we have satellite TV. If you have satellite TV, you probably have 60 or 100 or 120 channels, maybe more than that. And the question is, what are you going to watch? Or you might have Netflix or Hulu, or you might do Prime Video, and there are all sorts of shows and movies that are options for you to be watching as well. You hit a drive-through, and it takes you 10 minutes to look at the menu. And I drive Mike crazy because he always knows what he's going to order from the menu before we even pull in. And I'm the one that says, no, I need to look at the menu and figure out what I'm going to get. And it takes me a little bit to figure out what I'm going to order. And then once I've finally decided what I want to order, you placed your order, and then they ask you, well, do you want that small, medium, or large? And then you have another choice that you have to make, right? This morning, I was struggling with what shoes I was going to wear. Am I going to wear my comfortable black flats, which make it easy for me to run all around? Am I going to wear the black pumps that have the rounded toe, or am I going to wear my black pumps that have the pointy toe? Mike can't understand why I need to have more than one pair of black shoes, but I kind of think they're not all the same. There are choices to be made. Of course, in all fairness, I don't understand why we need to have 3 different lawnmowers, but, you know, it's a matter of choices. Life is a series of choices, and most of the time the choices we face are, quite honestly, pretty trivial. But there are sometimes the choices that we face are pretty significant and pretty serious. And we're going to be looking at that in the message for today. But before we go any further, you pray with me, please. Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So we're talking about serious choices. And the first lesson that we heard today, the one that Jen read, is one of those lessons that talks about a really serious choice. It's probably helpful if we review a little bit about who Joshua was and some of his background. Did any of you have kids who watched VeggieTales when they were growing up? Okay, so Josh and the Big Wall is a VeggieTale story about the Battle of Jericho. And I can still, to this day, hear, "I've got slushy in my ear," which was one of the lines because they were marching around the city and the French peas are up on top of the wall and they dump slushies over on the army as they're making their way around and somebody gets slushies in their ear. That's not scriptural, by the way. I just want to let you know, you don't find that verse anywhere in the book of Joshua. But let's review a little bit about who Joshua was and some of the history that leads up to the scripture passage that Jen shared with us this morning. So you remember that the Israelites were slaves in the land of Egypt. And they cried out to God, and God raised up Moses to lead them to freedom. And there's the whole dramatic unfolding of what happens as Moses contends with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, and finally Pharaoh relents and says, yes, they can go. And then he changes his mind, and he sends the army after them, and they make their way, and God, through Moses, parts the waters of the Red Sea, and the people of Israel cross over on dry land to the other side of the sea, and the army is chasing after them, and as the army wanders into the sea, the waters come back over them, and all of Pharaoh's army is swallowed up by the waters of the Red Sea. They've made their way to dry land, and they are wandering through the wilderness, and they are on their way to the promised land, the land that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac that would be theirs for generations to come. And they know that there are other people who are living in this land. And so eventually, as they get close to the border of that land, Moses selects a number of spies to make their way into the land to see what kind of people they'll be up against and what kind of battle they might have to fight. He sends 12 spies. And when the spies come back, 10 of them say, there's no way we can go into that land and battle those people because they are like giants and we are like grasshoppers to them. There were only 2 of the spies who came back and argued, saying, no, the Lord is with us. We can go into that land, and God will deliver the land to us. And the 2 spies were a man named Caleb and Joshua. They argued back and forth, and the people were so resistant to the idea of going into the land that they refused to step forward in faith. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to make you all wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years until everybody from this generation dies. And we have a new generation of people who can trust me, who will allow me to lead them into the promised land. So they wander in the wilderness for decades. And eventually Moses dies, and Joshua, who has been sort of Moses' executive officer, his second in command, becomes the one who now leads the people of Israel. And so he takes them on a journey toward the promised land, and part of that journey is the whole Battle of Jericho that is a familiar story to many of us. And they defeat the people of Jericho, and the walls of the city fall down, and they finally make their way into the promised land. And then we get to the point of the story that Jen read this morning. They're in the promised land, and Joshua challenges the people, reminding them of all of the things that God has done for them, of all of the good that God has done, the ways that God has provided for them, providing food in the wilderness, manna and water from the rock, and how God has wiped out armies in front of them and provided for them to allow them to get to this place. And then Joshua asks them to make a choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. Will it be the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river? Or the gods of the Amorites in this land where we are living? Choose. Who will you serve? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people affirmed that they would serve the Lord as well. It's a great story, but what does that have to do with us, right? What does that have to do with us? I mean, our ancestors didn't worship those Egyptian gods beyond the river, right? And we're not living in the land of the Amorites, whose gods we might be tempted to serve. What does it have to do with us to say, whom will you choose to serve? Except it does. It does have something to do with us, because each and every day we are confronted with that same question. Who will you serve? Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve something else? I know I've shared this before, but it's been said, if you want to know what somebody really values, there are two things you can look at. You can look at their checkbook, and you can look at their calendar. And you'll find out what's most important in their lives. Those two things help us know, what is it that we are really serving? Am I serving the gods of Facebook? Am I serving the gods of Amazon Prime? Or am I serving the living God? The one who came to us through Jesus Christ to bring us the gift of eternal life. The reality is that every day we are faced with a choice. Multiple choices. And the question is, do those choices reflect whom we truly serve? I could make that really depressing, couldn't I? Because the reality is, if I look at how I spend my time, and if I look at how I spend my money, there are days whenever I fail as a follower of Jesus Christ. There are times when my choices do not reflect what I would want them to reflect. And it doesn't look like I'm serving our living God. It looks like I'm serving Amazon Prime sometimes. So here's the thing. I don't like for people to come to church and leave feeling depressed. I don't like people to come to church and feel worse when they leave than they did whenever they arrived. So rather than berating all of us about that question of who is it that we serve, I just wanted to encourage us to think a little bit about why it's important to choose to serve God. Because there are going to be times that we fail, and there are going to be times that we don't live up to the measure that we would like to. But maybe it's helpful for us to remember why we should choose to serve God. And so to share an illustration for that, I'm going to tell you a folk tale. And the folk tale is called The Most Trusted Servant. So once upon a time, there was a king whose name was Olaf. And Olaf had a very trusted servant. His name was Isaac, He was the king's right-hand man, in charge of all sorts of things in the kingdom. And very few people in the kingdom knew that many years ago, Isaac had been a simple shepherd. But when the king met him, he was so impressed with this shepherd's honesty and his good sense that he brought him to be part of the court, and he quickly rose up in the ranks. And it was Isaac's role to keep an accounting of all of the wealth and riches that the king had. And Isaac would give the king an accounting of the jewels and the riches and the furnishings, and he was well esteemed. One day, the king decided to put the members of the court to a test. And so he called all of them together, and he brought before them on an elaborate pillow a pearl that was beautiful, a pearl of great value. And he turned to one of his courtiers and said, "What do you think this pearl is worth?" And the court official said, 100 wagons of gold at least. And the king said, "I want you to smash it," and held out a hammer. The courtier said, "To destroy such a thing of beauty, I could never do that." "Okay," said the king, "that's an interesting answer." He turned to another and said, "What do you think this pearl is worth?" And the court member said, "I can't even estimate what it was worth." And the king said, "Well, I want you to smash it." "Oh, no, I could never do that. It is too valuable to destroy." Finally, the king turned to his servant Isaac and said, "What do you think this is worth?" And Isaac said, "It is worth more than anything else in your entire kingdom." And the king said, "I want you to smash it." And Isaac took the hammer and smashed the pearl so it was nothing but dust. Members of the court were horrified. "How could he do that? How could he destroy something of such value and beauty that belongs to the king?" And Isaac said, "Is not the word of the king more valuable than this pearl?" Court members were embarrassed and ashamed. The king called for the executioner in order to elicit punishment on them. And Isaac fell down before him and asked the king to use this as an opportunity to show the value of forgiveness. And so the king pardoned all of those who did not obey his command. Now, the interesting thing was that the court members were grateful to the king, but they became resentful of Isaac. And they began to conspire against him. And they noticed that every day Isaac made his way up to the top of the very highest tower in the castle and would spend some time there. And they wondered, what is he doing? The more they wondered, the more they were convinced that he was stealing from the king and he was hiding the treasure in this tower, in a locked room to which he had the only key. So they came to the king with their suspicions, and the king said, "Have at it. Go in the tower, see what you find there, and whatever you find, you may have." So they broke into the room. They started tearing everything apart. The only thing they saw in that room, and the only thing they found, even after they started ripping the walls down and digging up the floorboards, was a tattered jacket and a pair of boots. After they had been in there for a couple of hours, the king came in with Isaac with him and said, "Surely you have found great riches in here." And they said, "No, Your Majesty, all we found is this jacket and some boots." And Isaac said, "That jacket and those boots, it's because I was a shepherd. and that's what I used to wear. And I keep them here to remind me that without the generosity of the King, that's all I would ever be. We choose to serve God because without the generosity of the King, what would we be? What would we be? Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise that you have adopted us as your children. Help us always to remember that without you, what would we be? And help us always to choose to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. And now I send you out as those who will choose to serve the Lord. And I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. For November, there are some updates to our worship schedule. We have in-person worship at 9 a.m., and for the first Sunday of the month, members will receive communion outside at the end of the service. Online worship starts at 10:30 a.m. You can see the message via Facebook Live on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC, or via the church website at mooresville-united-methodist-church.freeonlinechurch.com/live. Recordings of the sermons are uploaded to the church website during the week. If none of these options end up working for you, then you can come to the church parking lot and tune your radio to 97.9 to hear either service. So there are many ways to keep in touch. Both services hand out communion, so on the first Sunday of the month, you will have to register by Thursday at noon to be able to participate in the next service. Only the in-person service will require registration each week. Members will still have to wear masks and socially distance. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. May you have a blessed day.